satisfactory activity slowed amid a fall in new orders.
Based on hitting a shareholder value. As market capitalization raises, he won't get
any.
Going
a lot more global, so creating more programming not only for, you know, us here in the English-speaking U.S., but elsewhere as well.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to Friday afternoon. It's the weekend, everybody. Steve Bertrand here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Glad you're tuning in for the Wintrust Business Lunch today. Andrea Haines, you heard her voice there. We're going to talk to her in just a matter of seconds about what's new in Blue Sky and the Chicago Tribune. But a little bit later in the program, stick around for this. You know, I mentioned this with Frank Sennett earlier. There's a new business. I think they're in Wicker Park, and it's called the Piva Beer Spa. Piva is, I know Piva is Russian for beer, so I don't know, but you go and you soak in a tub of beer for 90 minutes or up to 3 hours, and you come out smelling like the floor of an old bar, apparently. I don't know, but it's a growing business here in Chicago. In the U.S., apparently, it's really big in Europe, so we'll talk to the owners there. Right now, say hello to Andrea Haines. Welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks, Steve.
So what do you think? Stale hops? Would you sit in a tub of beer for...
It's funny. I don't like the taste of beer, but I do love the smell, and I love the idea of a beer spa treatment.
Do you?
So
and they have a salt room, so
even
maybe
if I don't
want
to drink it.
One of the stories in Blue Sky this week was about Hertz and their investment in biometrics, and this fascinates me because... You know, it's the idea of they want to speed up, or they want to create probably brand loyalty and have people sign up for this. But this biometric, it's a face scan, correct?
It's true. We're getting used to this at airports in various ways, right? Check-ins here and there with sort of this biometric technology. And now Hertz is teaming with a company called Clear, which makes these kind of biometric kiosks. And they're going to make it faster for you to pick up a rental car. This is using a face scan.
So here's the thing. The president of the company says that they're really only going to cut down on about 90 seconds of your check-in. So what's this about? This can't really be about saving time. A minute and a half isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, so they said it normally takes 2 minutes. So this, I guess, then gets it down to about 30 seconds. And I think, you know, just to speed through the airport generally is probably, it's a little bit of a competitive advantage, I guess they're thinking.
Or the idea in your mind that you've got a little more control over it. You've got control over scanning your face rather than waiting in line.
Yeah.
But then there's the debate, obviously, about giving away your face skin. It's kind of an interesting thing in the article. They talked about, you know, how once you give away your biometrics, it's not the sort of thing you can get back.
Yeah, and that comes up, you know, we've talked about that in various ways, that like when that stuff is out there, you know, you can't just be issued a new fingerprint and a new
right.
face. Like you can be issued a new credit card when your numbers get violated.
But when it comes to face, I mean, one of the proponents pointed out, look, we all share all of our pictures on Facebook anyway.
It's funny you mentioned that because I highlighted that same quote. I just thought it was funny that one of the, you know, this is sort of an academic expert who is just a biometric expert, not particularly talking about this product, but he was like, well, you've already shared it on Facebook, so
it's not like
bad
it's a
now
secret.
Anyway. Like,
and that's what they're doing, presumably. Although, I guess you'd have to take, their equipment would have to take a picture of your face in one way or another. But, okay, so that's coming to Hertz, to a few airports. Chicago doesn't seem to be on the list of early arrivals, but
yeah,
I would
they
imagine
have 40. They're rolling it out to 40 of the nation's biggest airports, and I did actually reach out to them to ask about Chicago, and they weren't quite ready to say that, but they did say 40 of the biggest airports. Mm. So,
well, that would be Chicago.
And obviously, we all fly to other places too, so it will be in major airports pretty quickly.
And so the idea is, if you sign up for it, then you're more likely to rent a car from Hertz than you are from
There's a loyalty aspect, you might say.
Okay, another story about STEM education in Illinois, and you know we tend to beat ourselves up, but Illinois is doing 1 in 10. Computer science degrees issued in the United States comes from an Illinois university?
Yeah, so this is a report by the Illinois Science and Technology Coalition, which looks quarterly basically at what's going on with Illinois and STEM and all these tech-type jobs and education. And, you know, a lot of jobs in Illinois are in STEM fields, more than 5%. And those tend to be well-paying jobs, as we know. Those pay around $80,000 on average. And that's a couple thousand dollars higher than the national average for those type of jobs.
And how are we doing? I know the big worry always is keeping STEM-educated students in Illinois or closer to home.
Yeah, there was a little bit of good news there. We do fret about this leaky pipeline of tech talent. This report said that 4.5 times as likely if you're an Illinois computer science grad to wind up working in Chicago rather than San Francisco, which is, of course, a pretty popular destination for
tech grads.
That's
a big draw.
Grads.
And diversity, yeah. We still need to do some work.
And Champaign-Urbana also ranks high there. And yeah, the diversity issue was not as good. There are more women earning computer science degrees, which was very good news, but the numbers for people of color was not good. The number of African-American graduates in STEM fields actually fell during the studied period of the last few years from 6.5% to 5.4%. Wow. So it's kind of surprising to hear that that number's falling.
Right.
And just the general popularity and, you know, just the press that STEM degrees are getting.
Do you have a Christmas tree at your house?
I had some results. I have a Christmas tree in a bag right now.
In a bag?
It's not up on display yet.
It's artificial or real?
I use an artificial one. I call it my supermodel tree because it's super skinny, and it causes you not to have to move much furniture. So
typically, if someone says they have a Christmas tree in a bag, you wouldn't ask if it's real. But now more and more people are getting trees delivered right in the mail. And you guys looked at a few of those.
It could be. Yeah, the business section did a fun thing where they actually ordered three Christmas trees online, which not that many people are doing yet. It was a couple percent last year. Most of these things tend to grow, you know, pretty much year to year. So I'm sure it'll be a higher number this year. But they ordered Christmas trees from Amazon and a couple of smaller providers that will bring a live Christmas tree wrapped up to your door.
And they ranked them. And I mean, I would imagine, well, I mean, it's just a leap of faith if you're going to get, I mean, it's hard enough to go to the Home Depot and pick up one. If you're just going to rely on Amazon to send you one, you're just going to have to, there's no shipping that one back.
Yes. And you know, it's funny because you get into that debate over, is it an experience? Is it the sort of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation kind of experience to go get the tree? Or are you just making it one more thing that you're just ordering online?
It was one of my favorite things with my kids when they were younger. We would go to a lot and pick out a tree. And it was one of my kids' least favorite things.
Oh, funny.
I made them do it every year. Andrea Haines, thanks for coming by.
Thanks,
read
Steve.
More at ChicagoTribune.com.
Yep.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
It's 12:22 here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank on 720 WGN. All right, hopefully earlier this afternoon or this morning, I guess, you listened to the WGN radio version of This is a Wonderful Life. Just so you know, I'm looking through the window at the Allstate Skyline studio where the WGN holiday party is well underway. And the good news is they brought me a plate of food. So that's all that really matters. On the phone line now is Josh Peck, the co-founder of Get America Covered. Are you signed up for your health insurance for 2019? The deadline is approaching. Josh, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay, so what, the deadline is tomorrow, right? And I guess you could do it online on a Saturday, but by and large, we're just about at the end of the road.
That's right. We're really counting down the hours now. Tomorrow is your last chance to enroll for 2019 coverage. If you don't sign up by tomorrow, they're going to have to wait until November 1st of 2019.
Okay, so, you know, there's been so much activity around this and so much different rhetoric that, you know, I try to keep up, and I'm not sure I understand what's going on. This year, there's not a federal mandate that you be insured, right? But there still is the opportunity for you to be insured.
That's right. So this year, the mandate is $0. So technically, it still exists, but $0 doesn't cost anyone anything. Fortunately, most people who are thinking about getting covered haven't been motivated by the penalty in the past. So we are, you know, excited to see, you know, demand is strong this year once again. But we're a little bit behind where we were last year.
Well, I was going to ask because I think this is correct. The Trump administration is spending less money on efforts like yours to try to get out the enthusiasm to get people to sign up?
That's right. So both this year and last year, they cut the marketing budget by 90%. They've cut the local assistance budget by 80%. And they've really cut back on the outreach that Health and Human Services does directly. And it's not surprising that less than one in four uninsured people know that the deadline is tomorrow.
Right. And so you're seeing the numbers are down in recent years, you're saying?
That's right. This year, we won't know how many people enroll until open enrollment is done. But sort of the best estimates right now are pointing to an open enrollment that enrolls far fewer people this year compared to last year.
It's too bad, too, because you tell me, but it seems to me like the cost for these plans, the plans that are out there and available, are actually on the way down rather than what we'd expect, that they would be on the way up.
Oh, that's exactly right. This year, about 4.2 million uninsured people have access to $0 a month plans at healthcare.gov. In Illinois, that's 66,000 people. These are very competitive plans, and there are also just very low-cost plans available. And the reason for that is not because these plans are cheap. These are plans that typically cost hundreds of dollars a month. But financial help is available, and 8 out of 10 people at healthcare.gov receive financial help that brings the cost of those plans way down. So another stat is 8 out of 10 people can find a plan for $75 or less. My strong recommendation is to go to healthcare.gov and see what you qualify for, even if you think that health insurance is not in your budget right now.
All right, so you can go to the website today or tomorrow yet, and you can still sign up. And that information, you know, I'm a little thick sometimes, Josh. Is it still something is it clear to me? Can I understand once I go to that website? Will it be clear to me what benefit this plan would be as opposed to another plan?
Yeah, if you go to healthcare.gov, they're really easy steps to fill out an application. And after you fill out that application, which will probably take you between 5 and 15 minutes if you have the information that you need, you'll be told what plans are available to you and how much they'll cost, taking into account your financial help. But if that sounds like a daunting process, another way to do it is to call the National Call Center, 1-800-318-2596, and somebody can walk you through the process and help you. Right now, there are a lot of people calling. So they may take your name and number and call you back to help you enroll.
All right, so if you think that you're just out of the game, that it's too expensive for you, or that you don't qualify, or you're just taking a pass, take a minute or two, just check it out at healthcare. Give me the website one more time. I don't want to be wrong on this.
It's healthcare.gov.
Healthcare.gov. Give it a look, and you might find be pleasantly surprised. Josh, listen, thanks very much for joining us today. Josh Peck, the co-founder of Get America Covered, and thanks for the work that you do. I appreciate that.
Thanks again for having me.
Thanks very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. All right, if you were listening on Wednesday when I talked to Frank Senna from Crane Chicago Business, one of the stories we talked about not getting to or not talking about was this new beer spa, which is opened up in the city of Chicago. There's only one other one in the U.S., and rather than talk to Frank about it, I thought we'd bring in one of the co-founders. Dino Saransic is in the studio. Dino, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Okay, so, you know, everyone says beer spa and they start to giggle a little bit. What are we sitting in, stale suds, or what's going on here?
Yeah, so that's kind of the initial reaction. I think everybody always thinks it's a cool concept, but to shed some light on it. So essentially, what a beer spa is to me is basically an alternative type of spa where people come and sit in beer and the components of beer, essentially.
Well, but are you just opening up the Pabst cans and pouring it in a pot, or what's going on?
No,
here?
So it's a thermal soak. So it's water, beer, and then the components that go into making beer, like hops and barley and things like that. I can't give you the whole formula, obviously.
Oh, but give me most of it. Keep going, Dino. Where did this idea come from?
So actually, my father did kind of a relaxation trip in Europe, and he hit up a bunch of different spas and hot springs and things like that. And his favorite thing that he did was a beer spa in Prague, which is where it's huge. I mean, there's right. tons of them over there. So that's kind of where it originated. And just based off that, when he came back, you know, he really wanted to get it rolling here. So it's kind of his brainchild, and, you know, I'm just helping him do it.
Where are you guys? What's the address?
It's at 1052 North Milwaukee.
Okay.
So Noble Square.
And it sounds like a new idea, but obviously it's really just a very old idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the recipe for beer is actually one of the oldest recipes that you can find. I mean, you can go back to the times of the Mesopotamians and actually see evidence of brewing beer and even using it for different things other than just drinking it. So,
right. So
yeah, I mean, it kind of comes from that. But yeah, there's legitimate benefits to actually doing it.
Okay,
too,
so walk me through this. I show up at Piva, mm-hmm. which is Russian for beer.
Russian, Serbian, yeah. A Czech, yeah. So
I only speak about 30 words in Russian, but Piva is one of them. So
good, that's a good one to know.
That's
yeah.
a nice one to start. Okay, so I show up at Piva and I get a towel, and is it a communal tub or what? How does this work?
No, so we have four soak rooms. Each room has two tubs. So if whether you come in by yourself or you come in with a friend or a significant other, you get your own private room.
Okay.
If you're doing the main soak, so the the biggest package, the platinum package, that basically includes our salt room. It includes a 60-minute massage. You have free use of the steam room and sauna, and of course the crown jewel. You get to soak in beer for 45 minutes.
But you sell soaking packages for as long as 3 hours?
Yeah, so the platinum package is actually 3 hours and 15 minutes long.
But it's not all in the tub.
No. Good. So you're in the tub for 45 minutes.
Because I was going to say you come out looking like a hop.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be very pruny.
What are the benefits? Is it warm?
Yeah, it's a thermal soak. So the temperature is 98 degrees of the water. So yeah, it's definitely hot in there. But yeah, so you'll be in there for 45 minutes. Some of the smaller packages are 30 minutes.
Right.
But yeah, that's plenty to get the benefits from it. And then after that, you're supposed to soak. You actually go into our custom wooden beds, and the beds are filled with hay. So you let
what?
Yeah, so you let the beer soak in while you're relaxing on a bed of hay, and we have one of our spa technicians actually come and give you a beer mask.
Do you know how many men grew up soaking in beer and then falling asleep in hay? That was not uncommon at all where I'm from.
Yeah, you know, we try to make it a little bit classier so you don't smell like a 2 a.m., you know, so you won't be sticky or anything like
right.
that. So.
Okay, so there's a bed of hay, so you're in a bed of hay.
Yep, yeah, you get wrapped in a sheet, so because the idea is to let the vitamins and the hops and the barley and things like that soak in,
right?
So your skin can absorb those benefits. We don't recommend that you wash it off right away, and you won't smell like beer. So
right.
The other components kind of balance it out.
What percentage of your customers are men?
So surprisingly, so far it's been about 50-50, maybe 60-40.
I mean, I would imagine that obviously the clientele for spas would probably lean heavily toward women, I would think. So if you're getting 50-50.
Yeah, so I mean, that was kind of our idea was, you know, we wanted to create an environment in the heart of the city where you can come relax, nothing pretentious, you know, and just kind of take a load off. But yeah, I think the fact that it's beer-based is what's driving men towards us.
Okay, so tell me about Bring Me Into the Salt Room, because I've heard about them, but I'm not sure I understand them.
Yeah, so the salt room is essentially, it's literally a room made of salt. The ceiling's made of salt, the walls are made of salt, the floor is salt. There's 2 tons of salt in there, and then the key component there is our halo generator. We have a brand new state-of-the-art halo generator machine. That machine actually, what happens is you feed it 100% medical-grade salt, and it disperses the salt in the room, and it's dry salt. You're supposed to breathe it in. And of course, there's some pretty lights and whatnot, but the benefits are basically, you know, it clears up.
That's for the girls.
It clears up mucus. It's great for your sinuses. It's great for your lymphatic system. So there's tons of benefits with that as
okay,
well.
Okay, so there's one other beer spa, and it's in Oregon.
That's correct, yep.
And do you see more coming to the U.S.? You think you're on the beginning or the front of a wave?
I would think so. I would think so. I mean, I think we'll stay at the front of that, though.
Yeah. You're not planning to open up second and third locations just yet?
Well, I really want to focus my energy on this current one and make sure that, you know, our service is exactly as it should be. But certainly that's something that we've kicked around the idea of doing.
And so what's the cost? I mean, you mentioned your platinum, but give me some ideas what it costs.
Yeah, so if you wanted to do a very basic beer soak, which is essentially a 30-minute soak and a 30-minute relaxation room and beer mask, that's going to start at $155 a person. And so that's about an hour-long service. The platinum package goes up to, for on the weekdays, it's $320. On the weekends, it's $350.
And that's a three-hour package.
It's 3 hours, yep.
Okay.
So you're there for the whole day. You're gonna feel just like like just a puddle.
I'm really intrigued by, I mean, the beer soak is one thing, but the lying in the hay, I think, is a pretty cool. It's fresh hay, right? It's not, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
That sounds very interesting. Dino Sarancic is the co-founder of Piva Beer Spa. Hey, do you know where I could get a good thin crust on the north side?
Yeah, at my dad's restaurant, actually, at 2610 West Peterson.
Sounds like that. What's he call it?
It's called Piccolo.
All right, thanks for coming by.
Absolutely.
And
thank you for having me on.
You bet.
Thank you.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Candy, candy, candy everywhere this time of year, but that's just the everyday over at Candymaker Ferrara. And they're moving their headquarters to the downtown area. They're saying, see you later, Oak Brook, and taking on 77,000 square feet in the old post office location. It's yet another suburban move after the Deerfield-based Walgreens decided to make their change and called post office their new home, too. And, okay, guys, you're going to want to sit down for this because this is really cool. Starting next year, 1871 will host the Regional Startup World Cup competition. And yes, it's exactly what you might think it is. Startups and small companies share their ideas to face off for a grand prize of $1 million. The good news is that you've got some time before the event. It'll be held at 1871 on Monday, January 28th at 5:30 p.m. at the 1871 Auditorium. So get back in that basement, log back onto the computer, or solve that problem, because there are endless problems around the world that need solving. Yeah, you too can think of the next million-dollar idea. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Steve Bertrand here in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Thanks very much for spending part of your Friday with me. We'll head down to Mexico and John Williams in about 15 minutes or so as he continues his week south of the border with the White Sox. The Generation Z is the largest generation in the U.S. now, 61 million. So if you're born between 1995 and 2010, you are considered a member of Generation Z, following the millennials. It's a big number, and employers have their eyes on them, including the whole hotel industry. Shelley Weir is on a phone line. She's the Senior Vice President of Career Development at the American Hotel and Lodging Educational Foundation. Shelley, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks so much, Steve. Appreciate you having me.
Right, so I know you guys are looking at this group and these numbers, and tell me why. Is it because hotels are looking for a workforce, or why were you studying the Generation Z?
Yeah, great question. A little bit of both. First and foremost, you know, we want to make sure that we are putting together programs and adapting strategies to help reach this particular generation of youth as they begin to enter the workforce. But, you know, also at the same time, we're looking for workers today. And ours is an industry that's very welcoming to the younger generation. It's often the first place that they start their career. So how can we make sure that we're getting them into careers today, as well as attracting kind of those that are coming after them for the long term?
Is there a hotel worker shortage right now?
There is, yeah. Right now, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we have about 900,000 job openings in our sector right now.
Wow.
So much like other industries in this very tight labor market, as you know, Steve, we are looking for any and all opportunities to recruit a quality workforce.
So you look at the group and you say, what is it that's important to them? And then you figure out ways to provide that so you bolster your workforce.
That's exactly right.
And what have you found? What is important to them?
What's really interesting to us is a couple things. So first and foremost, Generation Z, by far, more than half of them, 51%, had an interest in working in the hospitality sector. So that was very exciting to us, obviously. But digging deeper than that, some of the things that they're very interested in is how the career pathways are going to benefit themselves in mm-hmm. particular. So how can they very rapidly get into management-level positions, for example? So we saw a lot of interest in positions like event manager, hotel manager, et cetera, things that would get them onto that supervisory career path.
I thought it was interesting that they didn't, it's not that they didn't stress education, but yeah, maybe they didn't stress education. They didn't see that as a real driving factor.
Yeah, that was very interesting for us as well. And I think on top of that, Steve, what was really illuminating was that they recognized that the quote-unquote soft skills or employability skills, so things like having a good attitude, having confidence, working in a team, those types of things, they already recognize how critical those skill sets are, which is really exciting for our industry because those really are the drivers of great customer service and being able to work in our sector. And so they almost viewed having those things in place as more important than the traditional education pathways. So that was very interesting for us to find.
It will be interesting to see this. You know, my son is, he is turning 21 next week, in fact. So he's maybe one of the oldest Gen Z. But they are growing up in, you know, the attitudes are so much different. I mean, it's they are growing up in such a more sort of diverse ecosystem, I think, that it's hard sometimes for their parents to understand just how different their life experiences have been.
Very much so. And as you said earlier, Steve, they're the most diverse population. So even with some of the commonalities around the languages that they speak and how many of them speak more than one language and being able to connect with other cultures.
Was
really
it like
interesting.
20%? What was the percentage of bilingual?
Yes, 20% speak more than one language of Generation Z, which is up about 5% over millennials from when we studied millennials previously.
Okay, so what does the hotel industry then do with this information?
So it's pretty exciting for us because some of the work that we've already been starting in recent years ties really beautifully into what they are looking for. So as an example, Steve, this interest in non-traditional education pathways as well as them getting into management careers, we developed and registered a management apprenticeship program about a year ago with the U.S. Department of Labor, and now we've got it in about 250 hotels across the country, 36 states, and growing by the minute. Very non-traditional, where it's a combination of them working on the job while taking classes to reinforce that learning and earning an industry certification. And many of the apprentices that are in our program right now do not have a formal college degree, but are very much on an accelerated path to management. So we're already putting in place some of these types of programs, and I think you'll continue to see that type of buildup in the future following the results of this survey. I think also we have to make sure that we are responding to what makes them tick. So we have to be very conscious of branding and things of that nature and emphasizing the company values and that we treat our employees well and can put them on that path to a lifelong career.
That sounds good.
So really responding to some of these things and making sure that we are speaking their language.
Shelley Weir is the Senior Vice President of Career Development at the American Hotel and Lodging Educational Foundation. Shelley, thanks for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure, Steve. You as well. Thanks again.
WinTrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.